Spirit Radio Podcasts.
3 weeks ago, we talked to our next guest as he was heading off to Japan to swim the Tsugaru Strait. Well, I'm delighted and relieved to say he's back in Ireland and here to let us know how he got on. Jon Lazarenko, the first person to swim across the Tsugaru Strait in 2017. Very welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you. And I've got our producer, Steve, in here as well, because all of us are really excited to see you.
We were living through this one, Jon.
Yeah, we were. We were really rooting for you. So so you were just telling us off the air what it was like swimming the Tsugaru Straits. Just give us the picture again for the listener now.
I don't know. You know, I thought that because it was my sixth channel, would have been easy. But you know, all my research proved right that it is a tough swim. And you know, as Darren Miller, the great American swimmer, called it, he said it was the craziest swim he ever did. And it's true. It's so unpredictable. And I started at 2 a.m. and for 3 hours I got hammered everywhere, like pushed in every single angle you could see on the map. And I didn't know my mind was telling me, for first time in six channels, was telling me that I'm not going to finish this swim. And I was trying to fight these bad thoughts because it was so unpredictable. Water was coming from everywhere. Wind was very bad. It was dark. I couldn't hold on food, you know, liquid in me. My hat and goggles were getting thrown away from the power of the water. But yeah, I kept her. And suddenly, after about 5-6 hours, I start settling in, and my shoulder was giving me a lot of hassle. I have this issue with my shoulder, left shoulder, for over a few years from an injury. But I had to take codeine, you know, the strong painkillers and anti-inflammatory, just because the water, you know, when you're in a normal swim, like, you know, at least you know from which angle you adjust. And here, with the water was coming from everywhere, I couldn't adjust to anything. And like, to give you an example how unpredictable it is, that when I reached Honshu, the water dropped by about 5-6 degrees, you know.
Wow. And what temperature would it have been at the
with about, I think, you know, they check only the surface, and they said it was 16. For me it was 12. For me it was 12, because you're going much deeper. But
that's cold.
When very cold. And the worst thing is that you go into patches who are extremely warm and then extremely cold. Your body, you know, your muscle could get shock, you know.
Yeah.
And you get cramps and stuff like that. So I had to take extra liquids for this, warm liquids, you know, to keep me going. But I was within a mile to finish in 8.5 hours. I was within less than a mile to finish.
But it took 13 hours?
No, 11:20. I got 3 hours extra.
11
pushed.
Hours. Wow.
Yeah. I had to do the extra mile because I got pushed by the Japanese sea, pushed me straight into the Pacific.
Yeah.
And I was going way wide. And that's where actually 99% of the swims fail, because they get pushed into the middle of the Pacific and you just have to be fished out, you know. Mm. But I did I increased my stroke rate. I increased my stroke rate, and I usually do about 55 to 58 strokes a minute. I increased to 70, and I was, you know, fighting. I was double kicking and everything, like, you know, my wife said that the last 500 meters, she timed it, and I did 46 minutes. That just tells you how hard it was to get that little bit of just to close that swim, you know. And unfortunately, like, you know, 99% of the swims, they literally at the end, and there, when you think you have it, just goes away.
Yeah. So, but you, how did you fight through? I mean, even that last moment there.
I mean, I'm not gonna stay here and, you know, and brag. I'm genuine. I pray to my parents. I pray to everything just to give me strength.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my mind was not right for the first few hours because, as I showed you earlier on that picture, I went to start in one place. And the boat suddenly...
You got pushed 2 miles.
2 miles, yeah. South. Like, we got...
Unbelievable.
Way out of where I was supposed to start. So I had to do 2 extra miles. And the first few hours was so challenging for my mind because, you know, when you... It's dark, first of all. You're on your own. You're not allowed to touch anything. And you know, you're on the other side of the planet. Mm. And you know, I borrowed money to do this swim, to be honest, and the few friends who stuck by me, who I thank them, and they give me this push, and I was like, I can't let all this happen. Like, you know, I can't let this out of my hand. And I know it's hard, but I said, I'm here. I said, I'd rather, you know, die in here, but get to the end of it, at least do my best.
Hmm.
And you know, it is challenging for my, was very challenging for my mind. But my I want to thank my wife, Angela. She was very supportive, you know, on the boat. She was the only one who came with me. And she was keep writing me good messages on the board. And I you know, our prayer was heard, probably the one that before I left. And everything, you know, everything was in my mind. At times, I was tears in my eyes, seriously. I don't think was time-wise was the hardest dive to. Time-wise was the probably the Molokai. But this was extremely challenging from every angle, you know, like what was under me, what was going on with the water, the dark, the wind, the unpredictable currents. Like every few minutes, the captain will come and say, I want you to give me the best 25 minutes. And I had to swim my heart out sometimes. And then in a long swim, the idea is to be consistent. It's not like you swim and then you hit a wall when you can't swim anymore. So it was very hard to recover and then keep going again. And another, because I couldn't hold the fluid, you know, the energy in me. As I said, the first 6 hours I had no, like my hands were getting numb from no energy. And I had to switch from 1 hour feeding to every 30 minutes to get feeds in. So I readjusted a lot of times during the swim, and I have to say thank God and thank everybody who was behind me and believed that, you know, it was done in the end. It was done. It took me 11 hours and I was no human for the next 48 hours.
Well, there is a picture of you. I've got it here after the swim, and I think you look as if you need a bit of a rest in that picture.
Yeah.
You're looking pretty tired. But just to put this in context, what you've just achieved is... it's just been said by which channel has just said this is the hardest challenge?
The Weather Channel has listed their top 10 extreme events, and it's put this one number one.
The
Ocean 7, and you've done 6 of those 7.
Yeah, I can't believe. I mean, it hasn't sinked in yet. To be honest, I think it's a different reaction because, as you said, it was voted, and I wouldn't argue with them because it's the hardest, because you have the biggest killer, which is the you know, forget about sharks. You have the hypothermia, the cold, which destroys you literally within minutes. You're just dead, and you don't realize that. You know, your mind starts fading away. You don't know what's happening.
You drift off,
yeah. And they talk to you. That's why swimmers, many people on board, they would ask you a question: what's the capital of that, or where you are, or. Because your mind goes away, you know, it's a silent killer. And I don't doubt why I was voted, because I think when I look back now, and I could get somebody to say, here, there is $2 million, do it again, I wouldn't do it again. I wouldn't do it again, because I think what I've done is I always like to put my body through challenges since I was a kid, but this was just crazy, you know. You know, you have sharks, you have cold waters, you have wind, you have, and the thing that you can't touch anything, you can't, you know, for the entire 12 hours or whatever it takes you, 44 kilometers that I swam, you cannot relax. The minute you stop to relax, you get drifted. And in the Japanese channel, another challenge for me was that twice I was stopped because there was military boats going by, like huge tankers, you know, and I had to stay in the water and float. Fight for 27 minutes once, and the second time for 14. You know, my wife timed it. I mean, and you can't get on the boat and relax. He tells you have to stop because the traffic controller doesn't let us go through it.
Bet you weren't prepared for that one.
No, that was something something that I had to put on my page and tell other swimmers that are going now.
Well, I'm reminded of talking to, you introduced me to Ned Dennison, who does the Cork Swim Week.
Yes.
And all of the really cruel things he does. A lot of people go there to prepare to do the English Channel, and all the things he says there's a torture day, things like
yes.
that. But you can understand why. You know, that just his job is to throw all sorts of unexpected things at the swimmers, unexpected extra challenges, and you can just see why. He knows how important that is if you're trying to do one of these channels.
You're spot on, Steve, because when you're in that channel, when I was in this Japanese channel, I read so much about this and that and the other and the unpredictability. And I think I had to adjust about 30 times in different things just to get that finished. And even when I was within a couple of meters of it, I was not sure I finished it until I touched that rock, until I cleared that water. You know, even getting on top of the water, because you stay like that for 12 hours, climbing on that water and the tide hits you and the waves, if you're not careful, you get smashed into them rocks. That's it. That's disqualified swim.
Wow. So you have to get out of the water yourself.
You have to get out of the water and clear the water.
My goodness.
So, you know, I had to climb on some kind of special rocks that protect the shore. They are built by the Japanese coast. And they were huge. Like, they look in the picture small, but they were huge. And I couldn't climb on them because they were seaweed and they were very slippery. And the whistle, I was there for about 10 minutes. The whistle wasn't going on because until I climbed, the rocks. So you're wrecking, you swim for so long and everything could go away in within a split second.
Yeah. So even if you finish, you haven't actually finished.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's just such an achievement, Jan. It's great to see you.
Yeah, I'm thank you so much, guys. Yeah. I'm so relieved because I was extremely, you remember, Steve, I was extremely nervous before this. It was a lot of pressure on me, you know, but I'm relieved now. I'm gonna relax a little bit.
Okay. And is it too early to ask you what's next or what the plan is?
The plan is, you know, there is a huge race in New York.
You mentioned it
September,
before, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah. I might go to that, but which I don't care if I do that or not, to be honest. I am relieved that I did this swim because, from all over the world, swimmers went there and, you know, incredible swimmers. Like, I'm not going to go through names now, but good friends, good people that we socialize, we talk on Google chat and we share experiences. And they just told me this swim in Japan is out of this world. Do not underestimate the kilometers in it. It's only 20 kilometers. Sure, I did 44.1, you know.
Wow.
And my next challenge, huge challenge, I'm looking forward to it. I'm not looking forward to it, but it will be next spring. Hopefully, if the Cook Strait, I'm waiting to hear back from the New Zealand Swimming Association. So if they clear me to do that swim, hopefully, please God, you know, the seventh conquered swim. Yeah.
Wow. Well, whatever it is that's coming up next, Jan, I think you do deserve a bit of a rest after what
you've earned it.
you've earned it. It's great to see you back.
Thank you so much. Good to see you guys. I think, you know, in everything, if you put an effort in, you know, pays off. You have to put heart and soul and training. And I don't think it's only training. I still believe and say to everybody, it's not only the training. You can put, I know people who put years of training and stuff, but if you don't put your heart in it and your soul in it, I don't think, you know, it's everything. I think it's everything.
Hmm.
Thank you.
Well, that's a lesson for all of us from someone who's achieved something quite amazing. Jan, it's great to see you.
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.